This morning we're continuing through our series in John chapter 11, which is such a fitting chapter to be preaching through on Easter morning. This morning we're going to be looking at particularly verses 28 through 37, but I want to read from beginning from verse 17 through verse 37. So hear now the word of God. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved and troubled greatly. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray and ask his blessing on it. O Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, our Savior. And we ask that you, O Lord, would open our eyes to behold the wonderful Savior who is shown to us in this passage. And I pray, Lord, that you, through my words, would speak to us, that you would speak to your people, that you would encourage our hearts, you would build up our faith, and that you would cause us to glory in the Savior Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. John chapter 11, it's about death and the Savior coming to face head on the enemy of death. As we saw a couple of weeks ago, Jesus, through the gospel, as John has shown us Jesus and recounted his ministry, Jesus has faced those blind, he's faced the lame. And here in this chapter, he faces death. And the central message that we heard in the words of Jesus, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die." And this passage is recorded for us to call us to faith in him. But it shows us that Jesus is the victor over death, which is, of course, what churches all around the world this day, and in fact, every Lord's Day, celebrate. Two weeks ago, we saw Jesus dealing specifically with the fear of death. We saw how the disciples, as Jesus said, "Let us go back to Judea," they were gripped by the fear of death. And we saw in that passage how Jesus says, if you believe in me, you have nothing to fear, not even death. So Jesus was dealing with the fear of death. But in our passage this morning, we see Jesus dealing with the grief of death. That's what's really highlighted in this passage, the grief over death. And many of you already know what that is like, as you've experienced the loss of someone close to you or dear to you. Death, right, provokes grief in human beings. And this is especially highlighted here in Mary. Last week we looked at the response of Martha as Jesus comes. And Martha, when she hears Jesus is near, she runs out to see Jesus. But we're told that Mary remains in the house seated. And we kind of get this picture of Mary just from the two accounts of Martha and Mary here in John and in Luke. Perhaps Mary is the more emotionally sensitive one of the sisters. Martha has this kind of sort of the strength of duty. And as she hears that Jesus comes, she goes out to see him and to kind of, you know, unload her burden. But Mary stays behind. She's so gripped with the loss of her brother that she can't pull herself up to go see Jesus. So Jesus tells Mary, sends Martha to bring Mary to him. And so Martha, we're told, goes in secret to Mary and says, "Mary, the teacher is here and he's calling for you." She goes to her privately or secretly, perhaps because she's aware of the danger that Jesus is in and she doesn't want it to be known that Jesus is near. But nevertheless, she says, "The teacher is here and calling for you." So Mary goes to Jesus. And here Mary approaches Jesus and Mary falls down at his feet. And Martha goes to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Mary goes and she just falls down at his feet in her grief. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Martha had gone on, "But with a little bit of hope, I know that whatever you ask from God, he will give to you." But Mary is so gripped by her grief that's all she can say. And she's grieving, she's wailing. And we're told that the Jews, that their family and the friends who had been there mourning with her, follow her out to see Jesus. And we're told that they supposed that she was going to weep at the tomb. Now, there was a custom in that day, the Jews, and their custom of mourning involved spending the first 3 days in the home of the deceased, sitting with the family. And then on the fourth day, they would go to the tomb to grieve in a very open way that involved very intense wailing. And so these people suppose that, okay, she's ready to go to the tomb now and to mourn there with wailing. And so there's Mary falling down at Jesus' feet, grieving, and he looks, and he sees Mary's grief, and he sees the mourners there with her also wailing. And what is Jesus' response? We're said that Jesus, when he saw her weeping and those Jews who had come with her also weeping, that he was deeply moved and greatly troubled in his spirit. Now, why does Jesus respond this way? Again, I want to remind you that the theme of this passage is that Jesus is the one who saves not only from the power of death, but also from the grief of death. And here's Jesus. He sees Mary, and he sees her friends and her family in the grips of grief. They're wailing, and he is greatly stirred, and he's greatly moved. Now, the Greek here, the Greek word actually can be translated furious. It's a word that's typically used in the context of someone's intense anger at something else. And if you looked it down at your Bible as you were reading, you may have noticed a little footnote that says that that word can also be translated indignant. Jesus was indignant. So here's Jesus. He sees the grieving, and he's indignant. And John records this. John knew that Jesus was indignant. It must have been visible in his expression. Sometimes that word is used to refer to the snorting of horses. So Jesus, perhaps he was breathing heavily as he's looking at this grieving. But what was Jesus furious at? What was he indignant about? And he was furious at the enemy of death. He's looking at his friends, and he's seeing how death has brought them into this state of deep grief and mourning. And Jesus is furious at this enemy that would bring his people to this point. And the scripture speaks about death as an enemy. Death is an enemy of you. Death is your enemy. And death is also an enemy of your Savior. And this is what Jesus came to deliver his people from. So Jesus is indignant at death. But it's not just death, but it's also the one who's behind the power of death. As Hebrews says, Jesus came through death to destroy him who had the power of death, Satan. And see, here now in John 11, we're moving very quickly to Jesus' work at the cross. And Jesus tells his disciples, "For this I have come. I have come to deliver my people from death." And so here, in this moment, he's looking at the enemy of death, and he's looking at its consequences. You know, wrapped up in that is Jesus is, in looking at death and its effect here, he's looking at the effect of sin. Because the scripture says, the sting of death is sin. Death comes in and holds reign over people because they're in bondage to sin. And so as Jesus says this, he's moved to anger. And this is a reminder that your Savior came to defeat your enemies. Your Savior came to defeat death. And we see that in Jesus' indignant, his fury at death. Well, in this passage, we see that Jesus is not only provoked to anger at death, but he's also provoked, or he's moved to compassion and sympathy. Jesus, his immediate response, he sees his people gripped by this enemy of death and the grieving. And so he says, "Where have you laid him? I'm going to go and show my power over this enemy." And they said to him, "Lord, come and see. Come to the tomb." And as Jesus is walking to the tomb with these people, still in their grief, he sees their tears. Jesus sheds tears. You know, the word here, the Greek word here, is different from the word that describes the mourning of those at the tomb. This is the word for tears, the shedding of tears. Jesus shed tears. And that is amazing. And what a remarkable two words. Jesus wept. What did the scripture say? Weep with those who weep, right? You mourn with those who mourn. God, right, the word became flesh to draw near to his friends, to his people, to weep with them. Jesus is a compassionate Savior. This is a real contrast to the God of other religions. The ancient Greeks had a view of God. They believed that they used a word to describe God, the word from which we get our modern word apathetic. They believed that God did not feel emotion, because emotion, they thought, emotion is weakness. If God feels emotion, then that means somehow he is affected by his creation. So God is above feeling emotion. And the scripture is clear that God does not change. His character is not changed by his creation. But we also see in this passage that we live in a real world with real tears, and the real God is moved, right? Feels emotion at what is happening in his creation. And he weeps with his people who weep. This is what we see in Scripture throughout. Read the Psalms, right? Psalm 6:8. He heard my crying. Or he heard the sound of my weeping. Psalm 45, he hears the cries of the afflicted and he saves them. Psalm 34, the Lord draws near to the brokenhearted. And here's the Savior drawing near to those who are weeping. And he weeps with them. So you have a Savior who knows what it's like to feel your heart breaking, to have warm water, right, coursing down your cheeks. The Lord knows that, and he has felt that. So you have a high priest who can sympathize with the difficulties and the emotion of this life. So you can come to him in prayer. You can go to him and take your tears because Jesus wept. You know, we weep over death, but there are many things that result from this sin that's broken this world that bring us tears. You can, it may not be over specifically the physical death of a friend, but it might be over the death of a friendship. It's a close friend has been, a relationship has been broken, and you're brought tears. Or a loved one, maybe a child has gone a prodigal way and is walking away from the Lord, and your heart breaks and you shed tears. You can take that to your Savior because he weeps. He knows what it is to shed tears, and he weeps with you. So Jesus is one who's deeply moved and furious at his enemies, and he came to deliver us from them. He's also a Savior who weeps with his people as they weep. But he is also a Savior who is able to deliver his people from the things that bring them grief. And this is highlighted by the response of the Jews at the end of our passage. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved Lazarus." And some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" So they look at Jesus' tears and they say, "Wow, Jesus loved his friends." And that is very true. Jesus weeps with you because he loves you. But what they missed here was that Jesus was able to deliver his people from the thing that brought those tears. See, when they say, "See how he loved him," what they're thinking is, you know, here's Jesus. Now he's in front of the tomb of his friend, and he realizes there's nothing he can do about it. And so he's weeping because now he's permanently separated from his friend. And some of them say, well, could not have he healed this man and kept him from dying? They are probably thinking, you know, Jesus, right, they were in Martha and Mary's house when Martha and Mary sent the servant to tell Jesus Lazarus is dying. And they know that Jesus waited 4 days before coming. And so they're thinking, well, why did Jesus wait? Well, it was obviously because he knew there was nothing he could do about it. Jesus was not able to heal him. And they kind of marvel at this. You know, he was able to heal the man born blind. I guess he wasn't able to also heal Lazarus. But God was not indifferent to the sufferings of Lazarus and his family. And God was not unable to deliver Lazarus from death. Could not he have kept this man from dying? And can he not now bring him from the dead? And the answer of this chapter, and the answer of the scriptures, the answer of the gospel is a resounding yes. Jesus can deliver him. Jesus is able. And in fact, that's why Jesus has come now to this tomb to raise up Lazarus from the dead. And this is an important thing to remember. You know, sometimes we don't go to the Lord. Sometimes we don't go into him in prayer because we think he's indifferent to our pain. He's indifferent to our suffering. You know, God is too high. He's sovereign. He's too far above me. He's got too much on his plate. He's indifferent to my suffering. And we see in this passage that Jesus is not indifferent to the sufferings of his people. But sometimes we don't go to God because we think God is not able. You know, I've prayed to God about things in the past, and it didn't seem that he heard me. Maybe God is just not able to heal my child. Maybe God is just not able to deliver me from this sin that I struggle with. Maybe God is just not able. And here we see that God is able to deliver. God is able. Jesus is able. So you can go to your Savior in prayer. You can bring to him, right, the things you face because God is able to deliver you from them. Now, the big question in this passage, right, is Jesus able to deliver from the great enemy of death? And the great answer is that, yes, Jesus is able to deliver from death. And that, in fact, is why he has come. You know, we noted a couple of weeks ago that some people interpreted Jesus' delay as his unwillingness to deliver Lazarus from the grave. But we learned that Jesus had purpose in that delay. And that delay came out of love. And that delay came out of an ultimate desire to deliver Lazarus and to deliver all of his people from death. For your sake, I'm glad that I was not there when he died, so that you may believe. I've held off to this moment. I've allowed you, Mary and Martha, to be in tears for a season because my purpose is to bring life to all who believe in my name. And by coming to this moment, I'm showing that I am the one. I am the resurrection and the life. But Jesus has also waited and come to this moment to raise Lazarus, to raise him publicly in front of all these Jews because he's on his way to the cross. How does Jesus deliver his people from death? How does Jesus defeat the enemy of death? Well, it was through his cross. Through death, through his death, he put to death. Death. And that's because the sting of death is sin. The reason death comes and the reason people are in bondage to death is because they're in bondage to sin. And the only way to free people from sin was to undergo the judgment of God. And that's what Jesus said, "For this purpose I have come." You know, he had said to his to his disciples, "My hour has come," or my heart is troubled because my hour has come to deliver you from death. But what shall I say? Father, deliver me from this hour? Save me from death? No, but for this hour I have come. And that's the only way that you can be delivered from death. It's through the cross of Jesus. When your sins are on the shoulders of Jesus, Jesus takes your sins to the cross with himself. If your sins are on his shoulders, then Jesus took your sins with him to that cross. The judgment, the righteous judgment of God, was poured out on him in that moment on the cross. And then it was expended. It was done. And Jesus said, "It is finished." And to prove that it had been finished, he rose again on the third day. And Jesus is alive now. And all who are in him, all of his friends, are alive with him. And Jesus simply says, "You believe in me, and my life is in you. If you believe in me, then I will raise you up, just like I'm raising my friend Lazarus up now." So this is our Savior. You have a Savior who came to defeat the enemy, death. As he looked at death, he looked at the devastation, the wreckage that sin caused. He was furious. And he came to defeat that enemy. And as he came to defeat the enemy, he wept. He shows us that he is the Savior who weeps with those who weep. But he's not like those who can give comfort and can ease pain but can't take it away. No, Jesus is the one who is able to remove everything that causes tears. And that's why on the last day, he's going to wipe away every tear. Jesus is the one who has conquered death. And this is what we celebrate. This is what we're celebrating this morning. Jesus went to the grave and he came up the victor over death. He stared death in the face and he defeated it in the cross. And he is alive. And that's what we celebrate today. So we celebrate every Lord's Day that we gather. But this is our Savior. Let us praise him and follow him in faith. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you that you are our Savior. We thank you that you came to deliver us from death. But we thank you, Lord, that in your coming you showed us that you are a Savior who sympathizes with your people. Lord, you know the tears that we experience even as we go through this life, still awaiting the new heavens and the new earth, that you weep with us. But we thank you that you are able not simply to sympathize with us, but you are able to deliver us from everything, even death itself. And so we praise you this morning, and we pray that our lives would demonstrate that praise, Lord, that you would fill our lips with words of praise to you. And it's in Jesus we pray. Amen.